T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
It's the Search Update.
That's right, the Search Update. We do it at the top of each hour from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Remember, we also have an exclusive Search show that lands at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7 o'clock tonight. Seth Payne and Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com. Go check out his work there. They will be on from 6 to 7 to give you the latest. A lot of vacancies have been filled or getting close to being filled. Last night, you saw Urban Meyer go to the Jags. You saw Robert Saleh go to the Jets. We're hearing things are getting close between Dan Campbell and the Lions. At least he is the front runner there. But the latest news in the last 30 minutes, Arthur Smith, who was the Titans' offensive coordinator over the last 2 years, he has reached an agreement with the Atlanta Falcons. Arthur Smith, that means he's no longer, Clint, with Tennessee and who has helped revitalize the career of Ryan Tannehill. Now he will be in Atlanta in the NFC. That is another vacancy filled, and that means I think the Titans at least take a step back potentially with losing Arthur Smith.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a couple of things here, right, of note. The Titans, Mike Vrabel is literally on his third offensive coordinator in what's going to be his fourth year in Tennessee. Now, he's been able to have some success, obviously, but that turnover has got to catch up with you at some point. I mean, you can't bat 1,000 when you're having to hire offensive coordinators left and right. He's done a hell of a job to this point, but it's unfortunate he's got to do it again for Titans fans. Now, for the Texans fans, obviously, them having to retool at least the offensive coordinator position and get a new terminology, and maybe they'll hire from within. I don't know exactly what that change is gonna mean for the Titans, but it's definitely something that Vrabel's got to, you know, he's got to tend to, it seems like, on a yearly basis. And that's exactly what I think the Houston Texans should try their damnedest to avoid.
Yeah.
Right? If you've got an offensive-minded head coach, then you've got the terminology, you've got the scheme, you've got the concepts, you've got the stars aligned in your organization with Deshaun Watson.
That's great. And
what's going to have to be an offensively driven football team, at least for the next couple of years. And so that's why I'm so high on that offensive-minded head coach, is so you don't end up in a spot where, like the Titans, they're going to have to retool every damn year, right?
I mean, the terminology thing is a big one because, all right, if you move somebody up from within, all right, you may not have to change terminology, but is that the best coach possible? Maybe you have to then go out from outside and get the best coach possible. And if you get the best coach possible, now maybe you got to change all terminology and change things. So that is a big key. Depending on what they do next year, they could. Well, even with their offense, which can be simplistic.
Well, look, I mean, again, you got to be, I mean, you're professional, right? I mean, you got to be able to adjust on the fly and make changes. And so it's not that if it happens, it's a terrible thing. It's just that if you have the opportunity to nip that in the bud and not have that problem moving forward, like Kansas City can lose coordinator after coordinator after coordinator, and Andy Reid's got his system in place, he's got his terminology in place, and they just slide another guy in there and keep on keeping on. And so that's the perfect situation for a Pat Mahomes. That's a perfect situation for a Deshaun Watson. It's a perfect situation for guys that the offense starts and stops with them.
Real quick, you think Ryan Tannehill takes a step back?
No, I don't. I think Tannehill, Now, why Arthur Smith really made the move to put him in there and him become the starter, and he's put up some really, really good numbers since Arthur Smith made the decision and Mike Vrabel made the decision. I think Tannehill's always been a mechanically sound, technically sound quarterback, and it's just in that offense, it's about doing the simple things savagely well at the quarterback position, and he does those things. He's accurate. He can make all the throws. Timing's not a problem. Anticipating's not a problem. He's mobile enough to go make plays on the few plays when a pass play's called and the protection breaks down. He's very sharp and gets him in the right place, so Derrick Henry's always running into the – or not always, but the majority of the time, Derrick Henry's running into an ideal defensive front or an ideal shade on the guard or whatever. He's really good at those things, and I don't see him taking a step back.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
All right, congratulations. You're off work. The weekend is hit. It's 5 o'clock fire. And the big story of the day, John McClain, who we just had in the 4 o'clock hour. If you want to use that radio.com rewind to listen to that entire hour, it was fired up now. He had the interview with Cal McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans. And Cal McNair touched on a couple of things, but when he touched on the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, he said that the quarterback who has been unhappy because he wasn't kept up to date with the general manager search that brought Nick Caserio to the Texans, McNair said, Deshaun and I connected over text since he returned from vacation. It's no secret he's disappointed in the lack of communication during this process. McNair, when he talked to McClain, would not disclose content of the text messages with Watson. Seemed like maybe they had communicated and some things had smoothed over. Then later on in the day, Deshaun Watson took to Twitter and he tweeted song lyrics that are very reminiscent to things that were reported by Adam Schefter over the weekend. Adam Schefter over the weekend reported that his anger was at a 2 when DeAndre Hopkins was traded. Now it's at a 10. Deshaun tweeted earlier today, I was on a 2, then I took it to a 10.
I was on 2, then I took it to 10.
There she is. And that is where we are. It just seems like every time Kyle McNair tries to take a step forward in cleaning this up, that there is a miscommunication issue of some sort that crushes it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because if he would just handle it, you know, head on and go straight to the source. And get eye to eye with Deshaun Watson, you think this would be something that would be very easy to clear up. Look, I know there's a lot of people out there that are of the thought that Deshaun Watson's a diva, Deshaun Watson doesn't run the team, Deshaun Watson needs to shut up and play. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are like that, but I just couldn't disagree more with this particular situation. I think generally speaking, if you want to broad brush the entire NFL and coaching changes and offense coordinator changes and quarterbacks and players wanting input, I think you can broad brush it and say, look, we just need to stay in your role, know your role, stay in your lane, and go play ball. But I think there's a handful of players out there that when they speak up in these certain types of instances, just like this, I think when you look at the totality of the situation, I think their voice should be heard. I think their intentions are good. And I think their frustrations are justified. And I think that's the case with Deshaun Watson. I don't think Deshaun Watson wants to to pick the next head coach. I don't think Deshaun Watson is trying to be a diva. I think Deshaun Watson simply wants to win a championship. He wants to win that championship in Houston. And it's very clear that the front office in this organization can't get their stuff together to a point where you convince your locker room that you're moving in the direction of winning a championship. And Deshaun Watson is the one that I think can move the needle in the right direction, and I think he's done that.
I mean, and my thing, though, Clint, is because I'm seeing that a lot from social media and on the text line that, oh, Deshaun, man, he's a player. He's you know, over his skis. But, like, hold on, let's not act like that what the organization is doing makes sense. Or that they've been showing things that say, yeah, no player should be saying anything about them. No, they're continuing to make this thing look like a laughingstock every single time out. Like, they had to be, I'm sorry, in my opinion, they had to be bullied into interviewing Eric Bieniemy. bullet into it almost. Like, don't say that Deshaun didn't even talk to him. They didn't even talk to Robert Saleh. That doesn't make sense. Like, so let's not act like that the organization has been doing things that make sense to where a player shouldn't question anything.
Yeah, it's the intentions, right? I mean, for me, it's we can single out GMs, the process, the head coaches, and we can talk about what he does or he doesn't want. To me, it's about the intentions, and it's very simple, man. They're not doing things in a way that Deshaun Watson in this locker room feels like they can win championships. And when that's the case,
not even close.
And I think the reality of this is Deshaun Watson has been a good soldier. Deshaun Watson has been a great soldier for 4 years, and it's been square peg round hole. He's not said a word. He's shown up. He's gone to work. He's played when he didn't have to play. He's played injured. He's taken buses to away games. Deshaun Watson has done everything that he can to do it their way. Their way didn't work. Their way led to a massive state of dysfunction for this organization. And when you're sitting here in the process of trying to right the ship, and it's very clear to the locker room and everybody involved, outside of Jack Easterby and Cal McNair and now Nick Caserio, it's very clear, and John McClain, it's very clear to everybody on the outside that this is, they're moving in the wrong direction. I'll be damned if I was Deshaun Watson and I was one of maybe five or six players that could force the issue. I'll be damned if I would sit there and accept more of the same.
You'd be a fool.
More of the same. I wouldn't do it. I would find a way to get this ship moving in the right direction. I got an entire locker room that's following me, that I'm leading, that I'm trying to get moving in that direction. And if they don't want to do it, if the front office doesn't want to do it, then last straw, I would force myself out.
And on top of all that, he was lied to, Clint. Like, what are we doing? Why lie to him? No one forced you to tell him you were going to involve him. It makes no sense.
As we look up here and we see Watson's breaking point is kicking off SportsCenter when the playoffs are on today.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, hey, man, I'm going to read this to you. Harden says goodbye to the Houston fans on IG. Here it is. I can get in my inner James Harden voice. Houston, you welcome me with no guarantees. Took a leap of faith and it changed my life and lives of my family forever. This organization, this city has given me everything I could ask for and more. Before the scoring titles, long before MVPs, you believed. You, Houston, you believed. For that, I am forever indebted. I gave my mind, body, and soul in hopes of bringing the glory to this city. I fell short. For that, I am forever indebted for falling short. It's far from a goodbye as I pay all my debts. That's the goodbye from James Harden. Did that touch you?
Yeah, it was sweet. I appreciate that.
And the Rockets responded by last night by looking so much more enthused and excited to play basketball. They defeated the San Antonio Spurs 109-105. Christian Wood, 27-15, three blocks. They looked good last night. They played and felt like they looked like somebody who had a weight off their shoulders. So goodbye to James Harden, and continue to watch your Rockets. Moving forward. All right. Something's happening with the Texans that we've all kind of had speculation on, but now it's starting to really become a reality every time we hear Cal McNair speak. Every time. We'll tell you exactly what that is next.
Well, Jack's very gifted in a lot of different areas.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
It is a Football Friday presented by Carbox, Hopadillo IPA. And this keeps coming. We keep learning this, Clint. Every time Cal McNair keeps opening up his mouth, the things that we start to look at may continue to happen. And we've talked about the J.J. Watt stuff and the trade potential. Like this... this stuff feels like more and more every time we hear from Cal McNair. The nervous, concerning things, especially with the top two players in this franchise, bad things may happen.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think there's two things here, right? The JJ trade, you and I have talked about it throughout the week. I think if you really look at what Nick Caserio has done in the past, and really that means what Bill Belichick has done in the past, it's trade the older players, right? If there's a little bit of tread left on the tire, get what you can for them. That even makes more sense in Houston because you don't have a second round pick. I mean your draft capital needs a shot in the arm in a big way. And JJ Watt, trading JJ Watt, it's what the New England way. It's what they do. It's what they believe in. I think it's exactly what Nick Caserio believes in. I think it makes sense to a certain extent. And I think JJ's gone. And then when you look at Deshaun Watson, I think the Deshaun Watson threat is getting closer and closer to being real every time Cal opens his mouth, every time there's an article written, every time there's a statement issued, every time there's a Zoom, some kind of Zoom press conference. It's not trending in the right direction in a sense of JJ Watt and Deshaun Watson. I think JJ's out the window. I think JJ's gone.
I'd be shocked if come JJ next was September still here. He's lined up.
Shocked. I'd be shocked. No question about it.
713-572-4610. Do you agree with Clint? Would you be shocked if JJ Watt lined up on that defense for the Texans next year?
Yeah. I think he's gone. And I think that treating Deshaun Watson like they need to treat Deshaun Watson is looking less and less likely. And so I think he's closer than we probably give credit, closer than we think, to digging his heels in and really being a problem in Houston. You can look at it as rap lyrics if you want to. We can all look at it as Nick Caserio didn't create this mess and all that, but there is zero effort to clean up the mess that's going on right now between Deshaun Watson and this organization. And the whole we'll handle it down the road. We'll handle it when the timing's right. I just think that's a big time mistake, and this is something you got to get right. Hell, if anything, get it right so your next head coach would be encouraged to that at least it's moving in the right direction. That'd be a great sign for a head coach to go, hey, man, Deshaun's on board. Everything's moving forward. Everybody's happy. That would be a great sign to the next head coach. But I just don't think that these guys, they just don't get it. They just don't get that dealing with Deshaun Watson in the right way is to not talk about team first. It's to not say we'll do it when the timing's right.
And that is not because,
via text messages.
And that is not because Deshaun Watson isn't a team first guy. He showed that all year. It's the Patriot lingo.
You're right. You and I've done this before. Like, this conversation starts with an understanding of Deshaun's not a diva. This conversation starts with Deshaun's not asking for something that a player of his caliber and where he's at in his career shouldn't ask for.
Like the person that this is like, if you think about a team thing with him, he's the guy that demanded to play in all those games when all of you thought he should.
Yeah, I mean, miss me with the whole Deshaun's a player, shut up and play. I mean, if that's where you're at, that's fine. Be you fan that way and go have those conversations somewhere else. I just don't think that's.
I mean, you can
that's,
have him here.
That's we'll, not. No, we'll I'm not. I'm not. I'm not responding to it. It's silly. It's just like that's not what we're talking about. I understand that 9 times out of 10 that is what we're talking about, and that is the caliber player you're dealing with. But right now, that's not what you're dealing with. And I think Deshaun Watson has proven that he's not that guy. And I think it's the Texans are incapable of dealing with Deshaun Watson the way that Deshaun Watson should be dealt with at this point in time. It's not about handling with kid gloves. It's about making the effort, get eye to eye, and get beyond this and get this thing moving in the right direction. And they don't have the ability to do that. Tyler, you got that Sean Pendergast. This is what I'm talking about. Like this is from a couple of days ago. Actually last Friday when Sean Pendergast had Sean and Seth Payne had their one-on-one with Nick Caserio. When either Nick, Jack, Cal, I don't care who it is, when they're asked a question, it's never answered. It's never just answer the question, right?
Can't do it.
Just answer the question. This is it doesn't get any easier than this. This is Sean Pendergast talking to Nick Caserio, Texas GM.
Are you concerned about the Deshaun situation at all?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a long way to go before we actually start to put the team together. So I think we'll take it one day at a time and just try to control the things that we can control in front of us. So that's how we'll handle it.
Am I out of line? Y'all tell me. Seriously, I want y'all to tell me. Am I out of line to think that when somebody says, are you concerned with the Deshaun Watson situation at all, that's a subpar answer from a new GM?
Absolutely. It's a politician's answer. Right. That's all it is.
Show, am I stretching?
No, I think the reason why you're not stretching it is because you have to read the room and understand what you're coming into. And what you're coming into is a quarterback or a leader of your franchise and your team that is not thrilled, that is not in a good place, and that you need to not just give the political answer. You need to do more. And especially knowing that who you are and where you're coming from. I think they fail in a major way to do what some people do, and that is read the room and understand how they should respond.
Like that leading into that press conference and that one-on-one with Sean and Seth, and I guess it's two-on-one with Sean, Seth, and Nick. I mean, the story for 48 hours was all over TV about how Deshaun Watson was frustrated and could want out of Houston. So when you're specifically asked that question, like the flipping, we'll deal with that when it comes down the pipe. No, man. I mean, that falls right in line with when Cal McNair's asked, what exactly does Jack Easterby bring to the table? Oh, he does a lot of good things. What exactly is Cal Easterby's role? Oh, he does a lot. I mean, Cal Easterby, that was good, right? What is Jack Easterby's role? Oh, he does a lot of good things. He's a great people person. It's just the dancing around the question. And there's never been a time that I've been covering the Texans where a question warranted a direct answer more so than right there. Nick Caserio is a brand new GM. The lead story all over every TV and every radio station for the last 48 hours was Deshaun Watson could want to force his way out, could force a trade, could dig his heels in and want out of Houston, right? And I don't care how real it is. It's 48 hours. It was a national story. And you're asked, are you worried about Deshaun Watson? And that's your answer. That's just one of those things to me where you're in a setting where it's one-on-one. There, you should give some depth, first of all. But secondly, it's just, like, why is it so difficult to go, hell yeah. Yeah, I'm worried about it. It was a lead story. We all know that. Y'all talked about it for 3 days now. Hell yes, I'm worried about it. And I'm going to assure you guys that I'm going to get Deshaun Watson. I'm going to get him settled in, and we're going to do everything we can to get the right head coach settled in as a group, and we're going to get this thing moving in the right direction. This is the whole, as time comes, you know, as it time permits, we'll get those things in order and we'll work on our team. I can't understand that lack of a sense of urgency to get it fixed and get it right.
No, I don't either. And I don't understand. I am just blown away by just the thoughts of some people. Just like we don't understand the moves they make, like you just laid out, like from the text line. I don't understand this thought. Longtime listener, but if you guys don't stop talking so with so much negativity about trying to get Jack Easterby run out of town and just keep feeding Deshaun's ego. I don't even understand. I don't understand how you arrive to that.
That's got to be Easterby's number. It's got to be.
No, I don't think it is. I think that it's a real, like, I just don't understand how you arrived at that point. Like, feeding is, how do you arrive to Deshaun, is it justified or any of the players are justified?
I mean, Peter King talked about Jack Easterby yesterday. John McClain, an NFL Hall of Famer right here in Houston, he dropped an article this morning that was specifically about Easterby in several different scenarios. How do you not talk about it?
I just don't understand. And the ego. Now, Deshaun's ego. Do you think he's being built? You think Deshaun wants this? He's waking up loving this? No. No one wants this dysfunction. All right. And listen, we talked about Deshaun, but Jack Easterby ran rapid through this, and Cal McNair laid it out. He said, Jack Easterby's not going nowhere. Jack is going to be here. He is going to be here. We'll explain to you where we need to be right now when we hear that. Does Cal McNair get it? Does Cal McNair hear you, Houston? We'll discuss that next.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Jack Easterby ain't biting nobody's damn dust. I tell you that as much as you can wish it. God, boy, T. Sleazy tries to play music and everything to try to make this happen. It is not.
Speak it into existence.
Yeah, you keep speaking it and
try to.
Cal gonna keep laughing at your ass. What are you gonna do? it is a Football Friday presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. And listen, John McClain, he got the one-on-one with Cal McNair earlier today and dropped some things that has become a national story. Even more, Cal McNair came out to clear the air. And specifically, he talked about Jack Easterby. And Clint, when McClain asked him, hey, you're going to fire Jack Easterby. Cal McNair said, no. He asked if Easterby would be resigning. He said, no, not that I know of. And then he went with, I'm sure, a comment that you fell in love with, Clint. The scrutiny on Jack is really unjustified, McNair said. Jack was put into the role, interim GM, the organization needed by me. If missteps were made during that process, we'll own those within our building. Jack will return to the role he was brought here for and what he grew into after he got here. So when you hear that and you hear that even more, Cal McNair is driving his feet into the ground, that Jack Easterby, no matter what happens and surrounds him, is not going anywhere. Where does that sit with you, and where does that make you look, and how does that make you look at Cal McNair?
Look, I don't care whether he's here or not. I feel like that the only way that this locker room, gets moving in the right direction in a sense of the trust they have in the front office and the trust they have in the GM and all the staffs around him, I think it would do wonders if Jack Easterby was no longer in the building. But I don't care at this point whether Easterby is or isn't in the building. I just wish Cal McNair at some point in time, any point in time, would just send the message that you're aware of who Jack Easterby is, what he's done, and that would be the exact opposite of ending your Jack Easterby thoughts with the scrutiny on Jack is really unjustified, because the scrutiny on Jack is justified 100%.
He don't believe it is.
Well, I mean, look, clearly he doesn't believe it is. I don't know that John McClain believes, that it is. Even though the more we ask questions, the more I think we realize he's aware of some of the same things that we're aware of. But there's no question, there's zero doubt about it, that the scrutiny on Jack Easterby is justified 100%. I mean, the trust issues between the front office and the locker room, they stem from Jack Easterby. McClain talked about possibly losing, Jamie Roots, the Texans president who's been with them from the start. That stems from Jack Easterby. And at this point in time, this is just one more instance where, to me, Cal McNair is just completely unaware of what Jack Easterby's, what the problems are with Jack Easterby. And I don't care. John McClain was on earlier with us in the 4 o'clock hour, and he keeps talking about, well, the media does this and the fans say this, and none of that matters. That to me, that's completely irrelevant to the situation when we're discussing Jack Easterby. It's about the locker room, and it's about the front office. And it's confirmed 100% there are issues in both. There are issues between the two, and they stem from Jack Easterby. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that 70% of the problems stem from Jack Easterby or you know, Jack Easterby's at the center of, or it's 20%. It doesn't matter. It's totally irrelevant. It doesn't matter if it's the smallest of percentages. Jack Easterby is a problem in that building, and those around him, Cal, just refuse to acknowledge what the guy's up to, and that the locker, that there is even a problem. And that's, it's obvious.
That's the greatest part. I mean, they're just, what? Nothing here.
Yeah. So I'm at this point, I don't care if they fire him. I don't care if he's here. I just think I think it'd be a good idea to quit saying things like the scrutiny on Jack is really unjustified, because the scrutiny is coming from your locker room. Right. So I don't give a damn. It doesn't matter what I think about it, or what you think about it, or what Peter King thinks about it, or what Ryan Clark thinks about the tweets from Deshaun Watson, or the messages from Cal McNair. That is 100% irrelevant. The fact of the matter that your 56 most important employees over there, they read that line. They go, the scrutiny on Jack is really unjustified. And they realize, like, their owner still doesn't get it, because in their minds, it is very justified. It is 100% justified. And to sit here and completely avoid acknowledging those issues and consistently defend the guy is wild, man.
Well, I mean, you could just say the scrutiny, as we're talking to John McClain, drops it out, and Cal McNair says the scrutiny is unfair on Jack Easterby and that he's not going anywhere anytime soon. And the scrutiny just has to be with what you all have laid out as what his strength is. And that is growing people, having good relationships with people. And as you said yesterday, so eloquently, he's 0 for 56 with the locker room. But I think it's more than that. I'm pretty sure there's about at least 20 to 25 people up inside the building that aren't players that maybe he struck out with as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, at best, he's a cool right now in the building, 2 for 87. Now, that's a hell of a two. It's Cal and it's Nick. But, I mean, he is a 2 for 87. And, like, that's got to be the thing. Man, what's his strength? Man, he's working with people. God, why do I keep hearing things about his issues with working with people?
Yep.
Like, that's, of course, the scrutiny right there is just fair right there. Let alone he worked hand in hand with Bill O'Brien on many of the moves that were made that were failures, because it's fair to blame Bill O'Brien, so it should be fair to blame the person who worked right alongside with them. Like, I just.
Oh, no, look, I don't care. At this point, I don't care who walks in the building and tells me that Jack Easterby wasn't pulling the strings on the. Are in the middle of, maybe not pulling the strings, but definitely involved in and fingerprints all over the DeAndre Hopkins trade and some of the bonehead moves that went on during the 18 months that he was here. You can miss me with that. I've been in a room and seen the words come out of Jack Easterby's mouth that they were offered a one for DeAndre Hopkins. We were offered a one for DeAndre Hopkins and turned it down. Like you don't say we and own it in a private setting if you're not involved in it. Your fingerprints aren't all over it. There's just no.
So the scrutiny. I mean, to act like there's not any fair way
here's my deal, show, is when you say, well, he's subjected to, or he's going to be blamed for. Like, those are all soft ways of putting it to, like, it's because of you, right? If Jamie Roots gets fired, or if Jamie Roots resigns, or however the hell they leave their post, however they leave their position, right? To say, oh, well, it's going to be blamed on Jack Easterby. No, it's going to be because of Jack Easterby. I mean, there's, you can soft shoe it and say, oh, well, it's going to be blamed on him. And that's a very soft way of saying, I know, you know, that if it happens, it's going to be because Jack Easterby stirred the pot and Jack Easterby pulled the strings, right?
Yep.
It's you can sit here and say, well, Deshaun Watson, I know Deshaun Watson wants Jack Easterby to be fired. Okay, the very next question. Well, do you think Deshaun Watson forces his way out of Houston? Well, he might. Well, if he does, then it's probably because of Jack Easterby, right?
Yeah. No, I mean it.
It's not Jack Easterby's going to be blamed for it. No, it's
it'll be
because Jack Easterby has,
any bad
for whatever reason. Like John said, he's been around the league forever, and never ever has he seen this, right? I mean, it's mind blowing.
45 years, yeah. He's never seen this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. We'll go to you on a Football Friday presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA, and I guess we're going to have to, all right, we're going to really get ourselves together for this one because Ryan has lost it. Ryan, go ahead. I'll let you jump in. What's your take here?
Hey, fellas, this, my take is this. I say I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan, and I just don't think the Texans are going to utilize him. I think they're going to waste his talent here. So my thing is, let's trade him. Let's get some picks for him. Let's just blow up the whole squad. The Texans have proven that they can't utilize great talent when it's in its prime. Right now, we don't have any first round draft picks or second round draft picks, if I'm not mistaken, for the next 2 years. So what are we going to do to be able to give Deshaun, if he stays, what are we going to be able to do to give him some weapons so that we could be a viable team? I don't see it. So with that being said, let's trade him. If he wants to go to Miami Dolphins, let's take Tua. We get the number 3 pick. We draft that running back out of Najee Harris out of Alabama. At least then we got something to start with to kind of build upon. I say this. Go get the coach that was at Indianapolis. What's his name? Think of the name.
Ryan, why don't we just move the team to Toronto? How about we do that?
Nah, man, come on now.
Come on. Let's trade Deshaun Watson and draft a running back at number 3, Ryan. What are we talking about? Come on, Ryan. I love you, and I thank you for listening. No. What is it? Trade Deshaun. I didn't spit all over the place. Trade Deshaun to get all the picks to have these same jokers make the decisions on the team. Training Deshaun with all of the same people in power making the decisions makes like good sense.
Mm, yeah, I don't follow that.
Yeah, they couldn't do nothing with Deshaun, but bring on Tua. Woo! We're ready. Give me Najee Harris at the number 3 pick. Woo! Jack will really be able to do it with them. What are we doing here, folks? Let's not let Jack's got you thinking crazy. Jack's got you thinking crazy, Ryan. Back that up. Go take a shot of something. Get it together. You're not trading Deshaun. That's not going to make a better move to have him trade it and have these same people make the decisions. Come on, Ryan. Come back. Come back here. Come back. We're here, baby.
I don't like where Ryan went with it, like Najee Harris at number 3 overall and 2 and that kind of thing. I didn't like that at all. But I do think that there is a lot more. It's a lot more likely than I would like to think that blowing it up and completely rebuilding is an option with Caserio.
Oh, I'm not. Are we saying if it's a possibility? Of course. Sure, it's a possibility. It'd be the dumbest thing in the world, and I wouldn't be confident with it.
Oh, I agree. There's ever a reset button, you know, job right now in the league, that's it. This is it. I mean, yeah, you've got to weather the storm for a year with some cap problems and some draft issues. But hell, you're gonna have to install a new offense and get some pieces in here and get offenses and defenses installed on both sides of the football. I mean, it's gonna be a tough. You can still win ball games because Deshaun Watson is talented enough and he's familiar enough with those guys around him. And I think they've been poorly coached, so you can improve immediately with just better coaching. But you're not a total, you know, 3-4 year rebuild. Right. I mean, if you make that decision, you're making that decision because you don't feel like you can get things right with Deshaun Watson. No, I think it's crazy as well. I think it's a crazy thought. But Ryan, I just never thought we would be sitting here and Ryan would call and say that blowing this thing up and just starting completely over is a good idea. Not that I think it's a good idea, but I just don't think it's too far from what Caserio could possibly be thinking about.
I told you, Cal McNair and the Houston Texans and Jack and Caserio, they are Kevin Garnett. They're anything's possible. I've said that. But that, like, if I'm you, Ryan, I'm not thinking, well, let's do that as if those same people who would make the same people who would come over and ruin a relationship with Deshaun Watson so bad that he had to be traded, that I would feel good about those same guys making the decisions on the picks or whatever to lead you back. It's not like you're trading Deshaun and then the Steelers ownership and front office are going to take over and be able to make smart decisions now. You still have those same guys running the building. I feel like it's going to get worse. I don't know. Clint Sterner in the show here. We'll get to some of you right here on a Football Friday. Davey, go ahead. What's your thoughts?
Hey, Ron and Clint, great show as always, man. I always love hearing you guys. I'm not in the know like you guys are, but what I've noticed about the Texans organization is they're not going to air their dirty laundry. And I don't know if any NFL club that really does that. If there are, then I'm misinformed, and I apologize for that. But what I've known is if there's smoke, there's fire. And we know that Jack Easterby is the smoke that's going on and spreading around through the organization. And Cal McNair, for whatever reason, has been blinded by this gentleman and has all the faith in the world. But as we also know with Cal McNair, he's always a day late and a dollar short on making decisions. He praised Bill O'Brien last year for when he traded D-Hop, saying, oh, this, we know we ought to be happy for having a head coach and GM that makes hard decisions. Then 4 to 6 weeks later, he let him go because of that hard decision. So I'm going to hold out hope that Cal's going to come to his senses and make the right decision, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
Please don't do that, Davey.
I know, man. It wouldn't end well, I guarantee you. And you know, John McClain, you know, Clint, I know you always go toe-to-toe with John, and I love it. I love the banter back and forth because it's on a professional level. But, you know, John McClain is not going to out Cal McNair in public. Now, if you get in a disclosed location where everything is off the record, he'll say, hey, Clint, hey, Ron, you know, Casario probably shouldn't have said what he said, how he said it. But in public, I'm not going to say that, you know, in public. So we know that he was right there at that interview asking those questions. So he knows exactly what Casario had to say about Deshaun Watson and how he said it. So, you know, I take that with a grain of salt when I listen to John McClain from now on. So, gentlemen, I appreciate the time. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate you, Davey. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, look, that's a good call. I think, you know, we talk about airing out their dirty laundry. I agree with you. I mean, most professional organizations that do things the right way and are competent enough to go through a hiring process and do it together and do it openly and either involve the quarterback or not involve the quarterback and not screw that process up. And then you know, all the things that we know the Texans have done, I agree. There's organizations don't typically do that. I'll say this. I think the Andre Johnson tweet was bold and blatantly obvious attempt for the locker room to air dirty laundry. You know what I mean? I think that was
them using it.
Look, the Andre Johnson tweet was 100% the locker room airing their dirty laundry via a Texas legend, a former coach's assistant or whatever he is, whatever he was, whether it was in the front office or in the, I know he was in the building with Jack Easterby. That was 100% as blatant airing your dirty laundry can get. Short of Deshaun or JJ coming out and saying it. And I just don't know how anybody that's in the know that covers the team reads that tweet and goes, man, Andre Johnson all of a sudden got in his feelings.
No,
that's... That's dirty laundry all over the place.
That's more. Somebody speaking for people who need to be spoken for.
Yep.
He was the voice to the voices. Go ahead, Andre. That's
3 weeks worth of dirty draws on Kirby. On Kirby over here in front of NRG.
Just had to go there. All right. Yeah. It's Friday. We're out of here. Coming up, The Search, Seth Payne, Brandon Scott. They're coming up behind us to give you the latest on the coaching search. T. Sleazy, great week. Clint, great job. I am Ron, the show Hughley, and as always, Houston. Even on a day like today, we love you, baby.
Baby, don't you treat me this way. I'll be back on my feet someday. Okay. took it to 10.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!